There is a scene in C.S. Lewis's The Voyage of the Dawn Trader in which a ship gets caught in a strange dark mist at sea. The sailors cannot see a thing, and they cannot find their way back to the light. "We shall never get out," they moan. "We are going round and round in circles. We shall never get out." At some point, all of us experience this feeling. At some point, the entire world is fumbling in the dark, uncertain of the right course, going round and round in circles. Pastor Angela Hancock wrote, "While it was still dark, Mary came to the tomb looking for a dead man. We can hardly blame her for that. What else could she expect? Mary's world was as full of darkness as ours is now." If Mary didn't believe the world was messed up before, she certainly believed it when her teacher was arrested, scourged, mocked, crucified, and buried. She certainly believed it the day she showed up to find that someone had rolled away the stone. Some jerk had taken the body. What else could you expect from a messed up world like this one? So she doesn't even ask the two disciples what they saw when they looked into the tomb. She doesn't welcome angels with good news to tell. She doesn't know Jesus when Jesus is standing right in front of her. Could that be the problem that we face today? The problem with being citizens of a dark world? We really don't expect too much. We can live with a dead Messiah and cling to the idea that this day is really just about springtime, you know, the way seeds die and blossom again. A good day to go to church and have a delicious Easter meal and enjoy the tradition of it all. But do we really expect change to come out of it? Do we expect our life to change today? If we went out and saw Jesus standing in the flower bed, we would probably think that he was the gardener as well. Because we've been going around and round in circles in the darkness for so long, will we know the way out even when it's standing right in front of us? That's a good question for us to ask today. Or maybe it's the wrong way to go about it. The promise of the gospel is not that we can see Jesus here in the dark, but that Jesus sees us and is guiding us into the light. That is what makes all the difference. The Gospel of John proclaims that Easter began in the dark. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Pastor Kathy Donnelly wrote, "Mary has been up all night, wrestling with the dark, unable to sleep because of her grief and shock. Jesus, her friend, her beloved teacher, is dead. It's still not really real to her. Yet over and over, all through the night, she has replayed it in her mind, the cruelty, the violence, the anguish of his mother and the other women, his cry from the cross, the senselessness of it all. She is furious. What could she have done to prevent it? Why didn't Jesus protect himself? Why was he so determined to come to Jerusalem in the first place?" She repeats the questions and hears no answers. She beats her pillow and screams her sorrow into it, hoping for the release of sleep, but it never comes. No answers come. Jesus is dead. She cannot change that, and she fears that she will never heal from the pain. Finally, she cannot stand it any longer. She must do something to drive these thoughts from her head. So, in the dark, she goes to the tomb. It's an act of desperation. It's an act of courage. It is the act of a woman in grief, wanting to tend the body of one she loved, wanting to soothe and heal all those wounds. We live in a dark world, going round and round, afraid that we will never get out. As time passes, pieces of us die. Some of our hopes die. some relationships die, causing us to go round and round in the dark. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciples, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciple set out and went toward the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. John bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb. Peter saw the linen wrappings lying there and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that Jesus must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus is asking you right now, whom are you looking for? We worship a big God, so big that Jesus is the exact person you need him to be at every moment in your life. Jesus knows exactly what you need. Our journey from the dark to the light often begins when we can verbalize what we need, to tell Jesus which Jesus we are looking for. Mary was looking for Jesus the teacher, the loving, compassionate Jesus, the teacher who will teach her how to journey from grief to joy, from death to life, to teach her how to hope, dream, and dance again, to teach her how to sleep with peace, to teach her how to stop fumbling, going round and round in the dark, to following Jesus the way, the truth, the light, and the life. Mary needs Jesus to teach her how to forgive those who have crucified Jesus, to teach her how to let go of all pain and frustration, to let go of what-if questions, to let go of guilt that she did not do enough to prevent the crucifixion, to let go of regret that she did not say, "I love you" to Jesus enough, or give him one more hug, or serve him a little better. Mary needs Jesus to teach her how to bring resurrection life and light into her life. John needs Jesus the loving affirmer. John keeps hearing Jesus affirm him over and over again. You can read it throughout the gospel, referring to himself as the beloved disciple, the one whom Jesus loves. He keeps repeating it and hopes that he will truly believe it. John is analytical, always thinking, craving affirmation of his worth. In Jesus' resurrection account, of all the details John could have shared, he writes that he outran Peter. John needed affirmation that he is fit, that he's taking good care of himself, that he's needed, that he's precious, that his life matters. John needed that affirmation. He needed time and space to be alone, to process the resurrection, to process all the ways that God's light is dispersing the darkness. Mark needs Jesus, the calm, assuring, loving parent. Because Mark is the ADHD disciple, always immediately off to the next thing, needing Jesus to help him focus, to live in the present. Mark is vulnerable and afraid. Mark mentions in his gospel how in a panic he left home with just a loincloth. And when they arrested Jesus, they tried to grab him but only got the loincloth, so he ran away naked. Mark needs Jesus to help him face and solve his problems, to help him feel safe and secure, to make sure that he gets a full set of clothes on in the morning before he leaves his home. Peter needs Jesus, the forgiving, empowering, loving Messiah. Peter needs Jesus' forgiveness of his denial to cleanse him of the regret that is overwhelming him. Peter needs Jesus to believe in him, to encourage him, to build the church upon him. Peter needs Jesus, the Messiah, to be grand, powerful, and amazing. Thomas needs Jesus, the loving scientist. Thomas needs Jesus to show him the resurrection, to let him analyze Jesus' resurrection body, to touch and poke Jesus, to see the resurrected Jesus eat some fish, to show him resurrection in his own life, to demonstrate that resurrection will be duplicated. You know, so resurrection can be proven again and again, steadfast and sure. Thomas needs Jesus to give specific steps, step-by-step instructions. Thomas interrupts Jesus' description of heaven, asking him, "How do we get there?" Jesus assures Thomas that he will resurrect each of us and carry us home to heaven. Read the Gospels, and you will find that Jesus is different for each person he encounters. Jesus is exactly who each person needs him to be. Often Jesus asks some form of the "whom are you looking for?" question. In every case, Jesus lovingly gives each person exactly what they need at that moment. Now, true, sometimes what is needed is tough love, such as challenge to the Pharisees and turning over the tables to the money changers. But Jesus gives precisely what is needed to guide each person from the dark to the light. Whom are you looking for? Which Jesus do you need today? What darkness do you need to have dispersed by Jesus, the light of the world? Jesus is always exactly who you need him to be. Jesus is always providing your every need at the optimal moment. Jesus is always with us, and Jesus also goes before us. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. Jesus is not here, for he has been raised, as he said. Come see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, 'Jesus has been raised from the dead, and indeed he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him. This is my message for you.' So they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them and said, 'Greetings.' And they came to Jesus, took hold of his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, 'Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers and sisters to go to Galilee. There they will see me.'" Jesus promises to be with us everywhere. Jesus is named Emmanuel, which means God with us. Jesus is our light. No darkness, no hate, fear, greed, selfishness, nothing can ever overcome the light. Not even the darkness of death can ever overcome the life of the light. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish the light. Whatever your darkness, the resurrection absolutely, completely, totally, emphatically, definitely declares that your darkness will be illumined, that death is never final. You will rise to the glory of heaven for eternity. Light, resurrection, eternal life will always be our future. Sometimes when someone we love dies, or a dream dies, or a relationship dies, we get stuck in the past. We remember the good times, and we struggle with our regrets. We wish that we could have handled something differently. Resurrection invites us to realize the future, reunion with everyone we love for eternity, every dream realized and savored forever, every relationship renewed for infinity. Gregory Nazianzen said, "In Christ, a new creation is coming to birth. Renew yourselves." Jesus declared, "I am the resurrection and the life." Jesus is resurrection and life both in the present and in the future. We have a marvelous future in this life and also in heaven. The tomb is a portal to joy, glory, clarity, harmonious relationships, peace, love, and light. The Apostle Paul wrote, "So if you've been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with Jesus in glory." Pastor Kara Root, who actually is a Presbyterian pastor right here in the Twin Cities, was asked, "Why do you need the resurrection?" Kara responded, "I need the resurrection because my sister is sick and can't afford insurance. Because I've told a weeping Haitian mom, 'No, I can't take your son home with me.' Because I've been rushed off a Jerusalem street so a robot could blow up a bag that could have blown up us. Because I have exploded in rage and watched their tiny faces cloud with hurt. Because evil is pervasive, and I sometimes participate. I need the resurrection because it promises that in the end, all wrongs are made right. That death loses, hope triumphs, life and love prevail. Jesus came to resurrect God's plan for peace, well-being, joy, love, and harmony for all creation. Life will always win." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni." Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me because I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers and sisters and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.'" Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." Jesus opens up a whole new future. Did you hear in that scripture how all of our relationships have suddenly shifted? Jesus is now our brother. God is now our parent. We are each a cherished member of God's family. We are all beloved brothers and sisters in God's family. We are now children of light. God is resurrecting in us all that is good and right and true. And we are journeying into the light. Easter is celebrating resurrection for each of us, from this world to eternal life in heaven, celebrating that our tomb will also be empty, that our soul will be set free and clothed with a new, glorious, eternal resurrection body. Easter is also for today. Whatever your darkness, Jesus is dispersing it with heavenly light. Every hope that has died, Jesus is resurrecting. Every relationship that is broken, Jesus is mending. God is resurrecting everything and everyone. Angels, all of creation, family, friends, even strangers are all directing you to hear the resurrecting Jesus. Call your name today and tomorrow and every day to ask you, whom are you looking for? And Jesus will be exactly who you need him to be. Jesus will lovingly provide all you truly need. I pray that you will hear God today and every day. For Jesus is with you now and will go with you wherever you go. Jesus is guiding you into the light. Now, every Easter, I am always aware that these words are so feeble and they give just such a small snippet of a sliver of a facet of the glory of resurrection. But I know that all of us will rejoice together in heaven. And I know that Jesus is dispersing all of your darkness, because Jesus is the light, and the darkness can never overcome Jesus. Amen.